episode, I believe it deserves something epic.
Like maybe sync up? Okay, and 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, that would have been nice to synchronize before we started talking.
Yeah, well, that's what happens after 50 episodes. You just get lazy.
Yeah, and after like 3 weeks after first trying to record the 50th episode.
Yeah, but people aren't going to hear that.
What happened in those 3 weeks? Well, I had a car breakdown, so I was test driving 1 week. It's been fun.
Oh, yeah.
But yes, listeners, this is our 50th episode of the Game Nuts Podcast. There might be one or two of you that have been with us pretty much since the beginning. What's wrong with you? But thanks. We've had a lot of fun with it. We had, what, like 50 episodes? For the first time that we recorded, I had the stats of this many episodes and this many tags. I said, you know, what we talked about the most. I forget what most of that was. Do you remember?
I remember Activision was number one with Kinect / Natal being the close second. But yeah, so basically what happened was we had this great intro going, and you know, we had a long discussion about what we enjoyed from the past 50 episodes and a couple of other discussions, well, probably one of which we'll return to today. But as I was editing, my computer crashed and decided that it didn't need my audio anymore and lost it completely. So anyway, we ended. Okay. Well, I figured that nobody wanted to listen to a half hour of just you talking to an echo. So, let's see. Well, I had one, a couple things listed a few weeks ago, and of course I've forgotten them. So, I know we both agreed that Which Sucks Less was one of our favorites.
I think my favorite things have always been one who done something completely original to this show.
Yeah.
And Which Sucks Less pretty much epitomizes that. It's from our point of view as people who work at a video game store, and it's bringing that knowledge to the forefront.
Yeah, and actually today I still tell people that the PlayStation 3 is a great deal, especially if you have a high-def setup.
Yeah, it's at this point I consider them pretty much equal. If you're going to be gaming online, go 360. If you're going to be using it for entertainment, Blu-rays, and DVD upscaling, go PS3.
Yeah, and if you're going to be sitting on a couch with friends playing games together, go the Wii. I mean, it really...
Well, that's more standing.
Smash Brothers, you don't have to waggle.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, that really, you know, like you said, that's something that I didn't... Yeah. And, you know, just the general camaraderie. I mean, it kind of sucks that we're down to two people. Maybe someday we'll have a third. But, I mean, just the camaraderie between you and I and when he was around Sticky... You know, just that, you know, we all hang out and talk about video games anyway, so. Exactly. Maybe we might say something clever and hilarious eventually. At least we think we're funny. Well, why don't we get to... Yes. Well, why don't we see if we can rehash the discussion we had, what, 3 weeks ago? I've been known to make cracks here and there at the expense of computer gaming.
Right.
And I just wanted to dispel some potential...
Misconceptions?
Yes. And I figured we'd talk about why...
I'm going to call it PC because personal computer in general.
Yeah, I mean Apple
Mac as well, but
and Mac is technically by definition a personal computer.
Yeah.
Just for some reason the term is never applied to it.
Yeah, it's always applied to Windows computers, which is weird. But is PC gaming relevant? And what does PC gaming mean to you? I guess that's a good way to label this discussion.
Yeah. And, I mean, to me, again, being a Mac user since I was in my single digits, pretty much I learned to use... Okay. When I was in actually, Macintosh came out while I was in diapers, so that... actually, I think we're very close to sharing a birthday. But, actually, no, because the Macintosh commercial was a Super Bowl commercial, which is usually in the latter part of January, and I was born in the latter part of January, 1982, so... Okay. Anywho, that tangent aside... Yes. Something complete. My train of thought just derailed. Okay, being an Apple user for as long as I've been using computers, there haven't been very many gaming options. I mean, a lot of the Maxis games like SimCity and The Sims found modest success, well, lots of success on Macintosh computers, but... Yeah, and the one that was supposed to come out and be Macintosh's killer app ended up being Xbox's killer app.
Going to Microsoft.
Ironically. Okay, I'll stop now.
For the first time around the 50th episode, he's like, you have to listen to this Halo mashup. You have to listen to this Halo mashup. I'm like,
actually, no, the Halo medley I did for the E3 podcast. I was going to, and probably am still going to, do the, I can't remember the actual name of it off the top of my head because it's in Russian, but the Tetris B music. No, not the B music, the A music from the Game Boy version. Crash.
For me, PC gaming, I never had a home console. Like, I had television way back, but I never got, like, a Nintendo or even, like, PlayStation 1 when it came out. So PC gaming was pretty much where it was at in my household. From Age of Empires on Summer Studio.
Wait, rewind for a second. PlayStation 1 when you were growing up?
I considered the 90s to be the decade when I was growing up.
Alright, moving on. to put that into perspective, the first video game system I ever bought myself, saved up the money for and bought myself, was a Super Nintendo, so.
But no, it's through the 90s, I guess I'll say, to the boy or my grandpa over there. I was a PC gamer. And, you know, it's pretty much, there's a lot of games that I like today that weren't that big when they came out, but for some reason, probably my favorite game in general that I keep going back to is Descent 2, which was 95, 96.
That I did play a lot of. When I was studying graphic design, myself and my friends were usually ahead of the rest of the class. We could finish a project in a day or so, and we had a week to complete it. So we installed a bunch of games on the Macs in the lab, and one of them was Descent 2. There was some first-person shooter that I can't remember the name of that I've never seen again, and a couple of others.
It's
emulators.
These horrible games that you're like, God, I remember playing that. I don't want to play that again, even though it was terrible.
Yeah, one game we played a lot of was actually somebody brought in a Super Nintendo emulator, and because the computers were on a LAN network, we could actually link up two computers. Yes, and
because they were on a LAN network.
Yes, shut up. We were able to play games on the Super Nintendo together. So somebody brought in a ROM of Dragon Ball Z Budoden, which was the predecessor to Budokai, which was an amazing, 2D fighting game with Dragon Ball Z characters that was actually a Japanese exclusive.
Oh, nice. I mean, like, one 2001, 2002, I got an Xbox, and I've become a console gamer since, but PC gaming is still very dear to my heart, because it's it's what I grew up with. And every now and then I'll go back and, you know, play Diablo or something like that. I got Spore and my computer hates it.
Yeah.
I'm stuck playing those 90s games over and over.
Does it hate the DRM or just hate the game in general?
I haven't tried it with my new processor, motherboard, RAM, but yeah. It would crash when I reached the creature stage.
Now that... You bring up updated cards and motherboards and RAM, etc. That is one reason why I was never able to get into PC gaming, is just having to keep your system updated.
It
I mean,
also wasn't as bad in the 90s when I was really into it. It was, you know, because most graphics cards were on board.
It wasn't until like the mid to late 90s that 3D graphics really started.
3D accelerator cards. Who remembers that term? I need to get a 3D accelerator card, what we know now today as a video card.
even I'm making cricket sounds over here because that's not a familiar term to me.
Well, I was a PC Windows.
Yeah.
I mean, like, when I wanted to play Bull Cage, which was a really fun racing game, that came out actually also on PS1. So when I wanted to play that, it's, I need a 3D accelerator. We went to Radio Shack and got a video card and plugged it in the computer, and off we went.
But yeah, I mean, like Super Nintendo, PlayStation, all these systems, you never had to add anything to them. I mean, the Nintendo 64 had the RAM expansion pack, which was only and that was only required for a couple of games, and for the games it was required for the most part, was worth it. I mean, Majora's Mask, Perfect Dark. Donkey Kong 64 was okay, but, I mean, there was never really that concern of, oh, will my system be able to handle this? Yes, it's able to handle it, because when you don't have the option to expand the system, the developers have to build it for
that system.
Yeah. So, you never have to worry about upgrading, so...
I mentioned, actually, a quick bit of news, we mentioned Descent. I was looking up the developer of it last night, apparently, and I never even realized this, but apparently Interplay started up again a couple years ago. I remember
they were big in the 90s.
Yeah, I remember them going out in 2002. They actually let the trademark on the Descent games lapse in 2002. They bought it back in 2008. And apparently they're working on Descent 4. They're working on the Fallout MMO. They're working on a couple other things too. So, I mean, we'll see if something comes of it. But
I remember, I mean, especially when when CD-ROM first came to home consoles, Interplay was huge.
Yeah.
Interplay was also responsible for the Clay Fighter series. They made a lot of games...
Partially responsible for the Descent Free Space, or actually just Free Space series.
Yeah.
That, in my opinion, is the best space flying game I've ever
played. I thought you were going to say the best Descent game, which is ironic since it wasn't originally a Descent game.
It's actually not a Descent game. They put Free Space on it for trademark issues.
Yeah, it's Puzzle Quest Galactrix, which isn't really a Puzzle Quest game, but the studio told them to make it one.
Yeah, well, actually, no, this was, in Europe, it was known as Conflict Free Space, and for some reason they couldn't call it that in the States, because it's a trademark, so they just signed it.
That's like Star Fox, coincidentally another 3D space shooter. There's already a game, or a trademark anyway, in Europe or UK called Star Fox, so they couldn't use that. So in Europe, Star Fox is known as Lylat Wars.
Okay.
Funny how these things work. Funny that. Speaking of the UK, brain fart.
We don't hate it.
Especially me. I just like making cracks because it does seem to be becoming decreasingly relevant as time goes on.
Yeah. This decade has really seen the rise of consoles as opposed to PCs. Last decade, I mean, like, consoles were there, but their power was so different from PC mass gaming that they really weren't comparable. And now you see them, you know, all the same games on both of them. You wouldn't have seen that at all in the 90s.
It reminds me of back in the 90s, and I'll use this as a nice little segue into what I've been playing lately. You know how they had arcade ports of arcade games on like the Genesis and the Super Nintendo and Mortal Kombat, you know, these games that, you know, you look at them on the systems and you realize, well, they don't really look. Yeah, the Super Nintendo came closest in because it had better graphics, but I mean, they never really looked like the arcade. Like back then, home systems couldn't do what arcades could do.
And
now,
actually, to be honest, the consoles still can't match up because they're stuck like that. They don't get the year after year.
Yeah.
Left 4 Dead looks better on a PC than it does on a 360, for instance. But then there's the ease to pick up and play. It's not more about the graphics. So it's a trade off that whichever side of the fence you're on, you have to make.
Not to mention, I'll pass on my segue for now because you actually brought up an interesting point. Playing a first-person shooter, there are a lot of people who swear by keyboard and mouse, which I could never get the hang of that. I've always been a twin stick.
In my opinion, better accuracy for Portal worked really well for that. But in my opinion, maybe it's just because a lot of people are worse with dual joystick and I'm not. But I like the dual joystick.
Yeah, I'm definitely, especially since that leaves, you know, all of your fingers free to do other things. And my other issue is, there are two other reasons why I prefer dual stick. Number one, dual analog. You don't have an analog keyboard.
Right.
So, you know, you don't get those nuances. And true. But you don't get the turning. Yeah. And the other is, I've always been trained on flight controls, inverted y-axis, and when I'm playing with the mouse, I never know which way to do it, because if I invert it, it feels strange. If I make it up, up, down, down, it still feels strange. Like, I can't find that compromise. Yeah, oh god, I remember playing Microsoft Flight Simulator on the original Flight Simulator on Macintosh, and having the flight stick to control it with. I'd still crash. Actually, my favorite thing to do would be to fly up really high, drop the nuke, and just watch my plane blow up anyway, because I didn't fly far enough away. But yeah, going back to the arcade. Yes. I'll edit that out this time. That will not be a bonus feature.
So going back to your haunted segue from before.
Yes, what I've been playing this week is Mortal Kombat 2 on the PlayStation 3. It's been made available as a downloadable game on PSN for $5, $4.99, which is amazing. It's an arcade-perfect translation. It features online play, which actually basically emulates standing at the machine, because if you enter the online play and nobody joins your party, you're just playing against the computer.
Okay.
So it's like a free play sort of arcade thing, but somebody can join in and press start, and you're playing it like the arcade. And the reason for this is I have two or three different versions of Mortal Kombat 2 for home systems. I have the Super Nintendo 32X, and I might have another one. I'm not sure which one that is, if I do. But again, I found playing, especially the 32X version, the graphics are better, but the sound is horrible. In the Super Nintendo version, the graphics are great, and the sound is great, but everything's, you know, shrunken down because the capacity of the cartridge and the system hardware. Right, and once I found this out, I'm like, for $5, yeah, that's definitely worth a try, and I'm loving it. So I now have arcade perfect translations of Mortal Kombat on the Deception bonus disc, Mortal Kombat 2 on the PSN, Mortal Kombat 3 on Xbox Live Arcade. Unfortunately, they're all in different systems, but yeah, so I'm really getting back into Mortal Kombat. Yeah, unfortunately, I don't know where I'm going with this. Moving on. Oh, right, because it confused me, because the last game that Ensemble did was Halo Wars, and when you say Project Spartan, I think, you know, the armor and the helmet and the Covenant.
It's actually called Agent
It's not Greek, it's Spartan.
It's actually called Age of Empires Online.
Is that another one of those cases where the publisher...
Why did you shut down Ensemble Studios only to have them make another Age of Empires game? Their entire portfolio is Age of Empires and all its sequels and expansions. Age of Mythology, which is Age of Empires but Mythic, and Halo Wars.
Yeah.
And you shut them down to have them make to have Robot Entertainment, the biggest spin-off of Ensemble, make another Age of Empires game. What the hell's wrong with
this? Maybe by it not being called Ensemble, they don't have to pay as much. I don't know. Microsoft's been making some strange choices, like the price of Kinect. I'm sorry, I had to throw that in there. I had to throw that in there just for the reaction. No, we're not talking about Kinect. I just wanted to force you to put the tag in. But Activision will continue its reign of terror otherwise. Okay.
Basically going to be Age of Empires plus everything that's making Farmville great. It's going to be like social online play.
And paying real money for virtual items in a limited game.
There is basically a backroom crack house for Farmville that its minimum buy-in is $500 for like accessories and such. It's sent by wire.
Hey.
Yeah,
and it's
and
shameful.
Actually, the player base of Farmville is going down now, so I think that bubble's just about to collapse on me. And I, for one, would be glad.
Yes.
I don't want to have customers coming in here asking to have Farmville cards, for God's sake.
Yeah, I haven't gotten that myself, although I've had customers come in. Oh, yeah, I like playing games on my computer. I like Farmville. All right, you can leave now.
That's not PC gaming.
No, that is definitely not. Yeah, that is... I don't consider those any sort of gaming. Not to say they don't have their merits if that's what you're into, but...
They're gaming, it's just forward gaming that I like.
Well, I mean, I like some games of questionable quality myself, so I can't...
You go on Armor Game and play the dress-up games, don't you?
Maybe. No, but, I mean, it's... If that's what floats your boat, but people get obsessed with it. Yeah, let's get off of Farmville.
It looks like it'll be pretty cool. I don't know, I'm not sold on it yet. A lot of people consider H2 to be the best in the series because a lot of people didn't like the home cities and such in H3. We'll see what online does. I, for one, we've been playing Age of Empires since it first came out. Again, going to PC gaming. So I'm interested in this, and we'll see. I know Dad will get a copy of it.
Yeah. Okay, so we would be remiss to not discuss this as a video game podcast. I don't really have a lot to say, and everybody already knows this by now, but Duke Nukem Forever had a playable demo at PAX. Who would have...
I'm not going to believe it until I see it.
Who... Okay.
They've never... A ton of video demos before.
But it's never been playable. And now that I think now that the game's been taken out of the hands of the lead developer and given to somebody else, like one of the problems that they had with it was the lead developer kept on trying to
upgrade and get the latest.
Right. Which you can't. Which going back to the discussion of upgrading computers and PC gaming, you can't keep up.
No, software can't keep up with hardware. Hardware is always going to be ahead of software. It's folly to try to get your software to be ahead of the hardware. Crysis is the only thing that I think has gotten any respect for.
Which I think. Which I think is kind of funny that Crysis 2 is actually going to be an Xbox 360 game, considering Xbox 360s are now less powerful than PCs. But I guess they figured they saw the audience there, so they can make money off of it, even if it is scaled down. But yeah, I don't really have anything to say about that other than the fact that it was there and everybody was surprised and impressed. And even the developer, Gearbox Entertainment, said, we couldn't have some sort of announcement about this. We couldn't say, oh, by the way, it's going to be a pack, because no one would believe it. We had to come out full force with a playable demo and show people, for a fact, this game exists.
Gearbox is cool. They're basically, like, I remember they did the expansions for the original Half-Life. I definitely respect them as a developer, so, I mean, we'll see.
I know I had heard the name before, but I couldn't remember where.
I forget most of the ones that they've done that I've played, but, yeah. Opposing Force, Blue Shift, the Half-Life 1 expansions, they were done. They work pretty close with, Valve, so.
Okay, I knew there was a reason why I knew them.
So
I knew they were...
when it's out.
Yeah.
Because they're under Valve's wing, so it'll be done when it's done.
Well, considering the game itself has probably been done for a while. It's just the technology they've been trying to catch up on, but we'll see. I think by now they have to ride the nostalgia factor of Duke Nukem, because there's no way Duke Nukem would still be relevant, and if they tried to change the character to make him relevant, they would just ruin the series altogether.
Yeah. It's gotta be nostalgia,
yeah.
Because if Duke Nukem started out today, if there weren't any Duke Nukem games and that character came out today, there would be a shit start.
Yeah, Duke Nukem was kind of like Bruce Willis and Bruce Campbell had a baby.
Wow, that's a lot of manliness.
And sarcasm.
Yep.
I don't know, did you want to talk about the Rock Band 3 set list real quick?
Yeah, I've got one little piece of news, so why don't you start on that while I look up my name over here.
Okay. Do you need a magnifying glass? Right. You chose to completely ignore my setup, but, I'm looking at the Rock Band 3 set lists. There's 83 songs listed, and, I was surprised. There are actually at least 20 songs that I know by name, probably a few more that I've heard but don't recognize by name, and a lot of them are ones that I'm excited about, like, Rock Lobster by the B-52s, I've been hoping for in Rock Band for as long as I've been playing Rock Band. And they've got a few more in here. They're really taking advantage of having the keyboard, because they've got Huey Lewis.
I mean, it's, we've always talked about like how maybe the music genre is starting to die down, partially Activision's fault, but it's starting
yeah.
to lose relevance. And when they introduce a new instrument they need
Yeah, and I think Rock Band 3 is generating far more excitement for a music game. Yeah, I haven't seen this much excitement for a music game since the original Rock Band and Guitar Hero 3 came out, when the genre was at its peak.
World Tour had a lot of hype.
In the realm of people who don't know what Rock Band is. Because World Tour was basically, Rock Band outdid us last time, so we're just going to do what Rock Band did. And everybody's like, you can play drums! Yeah, I've been doing that for over a year now. But, they've got Huey Lewis in the News, Devo. You can't do Devo without a keyboard. They've just got some great songs on here. Walking on the Sun by Smash Mouth, which I consider to be one of their best songs. And, you know, Smash Mouth is really, you need the keyboard for, because they've got that very distinctive kind of old electric organ sound to them. We're rolling up on noon, so.
Let me unlock the door and then I'll talk about my bit. So you keep talking about that. I don't have much to say about the set list. It's cool. It'll
yeah.
have
Yeah.
Something that absolutely excites me, but there's a couple that are like, okay,
cool. Yeah, but go check it out. It's all over online. There's also going to be a Rock Band 3 for the DS, which will be very much like Rock Band Unplugged and a Lego Rock Band for the DS. Rock Band Unplugged for the PSP and Lego Rock Band for the DS. So, we'll see. I'm definitely getting it. I'm definitely getting the Keytar bundle. And, yeah. Yeah, Harmonix is adamant about it not being called a keytar, because you can set it up like a stand-up keyboard, but...
Like
yeah, it's a keytar.
I actually did find my count 49 episodes, 2 failure casts, 1 quick cast, yes. Yeah, 11 times for Activision, 10 for Nintendo, and Kinect, others, so...
Okay.
And then,
are we pausing, or...?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, I'm really excited about Rock Band 3. I'm getting it day one. Hopefully I'll have people to actually play it with. But, there are more songs on Rock Band 3 that I'm excited about than any other music game that's come out recently.
You know what else I'm excited about? Portal 2. I don't think news item that I wrote down after our last recording.
Yeah, I'm excited about that too, but I think I'm going to hold off on it because I'm already spending over $300 on video games this holiday season.
The campaign for Halo 2 is going to be twice as long as the original. The original was like 4 hours. I saw someone, actually this person, like put it on our forums, but they spent it all over the internet. They're like, oh, the game's only going to be like 8 or 9 hours. I'm like, look around. Most first-person shooters are 8 or 9 hours in length.
Exactly. And if they run much longer than that, they actually become tedious. BioShock, I think, got tedious because it ran too long.
How well Portal's going to last that long, because the first one was
perfect. Yeah, the first one, just as you think you're coming to the end, it throws another couple of hours at you, and it's just long enough to keep that suspense, keep the story going, or actually give you a story.
Yeah.
And, I think the first Portal was probably the perfect length for what it was, so we'll see if they can make 9 hours worth of puzzles.
And actually, they're making like 16 to 18 hours worth, because the co-op campaign is going to be equal length, but it is completely and utterly separate. It's not two people going through the same levels.
Which would be way too easy.
It's a completely separate campaign that you absolutely need two people in all four Portals for.
That is... That sounds fascinating.
It's going to be amazing, good sir.
Yes. Well.
So that's... I can't wait.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's why I'm like, this is going to be amazing.
Yeah, I'm more excited about that now than I was before. I mean, I loved Portal. I've been excited about Portal 2, but with Halo Reach, Rock Band 3, GoldenEye, Epic Mickey... there's so many great games coming out this holiday season that I want to get day one. Portal 2 kind of fell off my radar. I figure, I'll pick it up next year.
Like, Portal 1, I didn't see the trailer of it. It was this little thing that was in orange box along with the long-anticipated Team Fortress 2 and Half-Life 2 Episode 2, and along with Half-Life 2 and Half-Life 2 Episode 1. I'm like, oh yeah, Portal, whatever. It was the
thing
that happened to gaming that year.
Yeah, it was really the reason to get orange box. Yeah, I'm sure it will sell a bazillion copies. It is Valve, after all.
It's coming to the PS3. That was the other big announcement.
Hopefully they won't botch the port like they did with the original Orange Box.
Yeah, well, Gabe Newell actually said, okay, yeah, I've been bad-mouthing the PS3 before, but now I think we'll finally try to get this to work. So.
Yeah, now the people actually know how to code for it.
I think Goldwave is just about to cut us off, so if you have any comments... the other thing, we're going to be going on a short hiatus here. We're going to try to actually...
An actual planned hiatus.
sorry that you had to wait a month just to hear us say, yeah, we'll see in like a month. but we're going to try to get a third post, and definitely by the time Which Sucks Less would come out, which is going to be November, we definitely want to. We want to be up and running again by October, so we'll see how things go.
Yes, and possibly under a new name, but still on the same feed, right?
I don't know about the same feed. I don't know about any of that right now. When we know details of whatever's going to be happening,
we'll put it on the blog.
Yeah. So until next time, listeners, you can go ahead and leave comments as ever at gamehousepodcast.blogspot.com or drop us a line at gamehousepodcast@gmail.com. So until next time, whenever that is, listeners, this is Bo signing off.
And this is Fear the Claw saying good afternoon, good evening, and... Darn it, R2. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night. You know, you're too late now. Shut up, R2.